Marty, how are you today?
Good. It is a beautiful day here in Monroe County.
It is, as long as you're inside.
We just need lots of outerwear to just get out there in this cold weather, and I'll be going to the courthouse today to celebrate the Christmas season with many of the other county employees. It's their annual Christmas party, so... Oh, I'm sure not everybody calls it a Christmas party, but I will, and so there you go.
You're allowed to do so. That's the greatest part of our country is being able to do that. So that gets you rolling, and while you're at this Christmas party, you're going to get ready for a meeting a week from today. That's more of our financial review. Is that what we're talking about for the county council to make sure that if we're going to do this food and beverage tax, we cover all of our bases?
Well, there's certainly going to be a meeting. Whether or not the final vote will take place that day or not, I do not know. I'm not sure that everybody has their votes counted, and hopefully people have been willing to look at new information, some of which I've been trying to contact some of the members of the council to say, hey, have you looked at what Representative Ellington had said, well, that he would go to the state and allow us, not saying we would have to, but allow us to increase the visitor's tax. Now, I had one county council person say, well, he would support it up to 8%, but not 10%. Well, so then you go to look at what's the monetary difference in that? Well, so the way you have to look at it is, what is an overnight stay here in Monroe County for that Sunday through Thursday time frame that they're trying to fill? Well, it starts out at about $58 a night and goes up to about $110. Hyatt Place downtown is $98. Hilton Gardens $110. Quality Inn's $58. So I thought, okay, let's just average it out. We'll say 100.
Yeah, 100 is easier. It's easier to do math.
The math is easiest that way.
Right. And so the increase in that if somebody said, okay, we'll support it going up to 8%, well, the increase per night will be $3 for 100. But if we took it all the way up to the increase that it would take to do this facility, the convention center and the exposition hall, it would take $5 a night for a visitor from out of town to come and stay in our hotels. Now, I'm thinking, if somebody really wants to come to Monroe County, would they say, oh, I'm not going to go because it's going to cost me $5 more a night. I think I'll stay in Indy, which, by the way...
Seems absurd.
Well, but nobody has looked at it like that. That people have very willingly said, well, if you're going out for dinner for $50, it's X, you know, if it's a food and beverage. Nobody has said, this is what it is, if you want to come and stay in one of our hotels during the week, during this slow time that they're trying to get these conventions in here, it will be, on average, a $5. Now, some of them will only be $2.50 because the prices of the hotels are less, so if you're really on a budget, you can stay at the Days Inn or one of those places. Days Inn was, I think, $53. So, you know, that would only be $2.50 or something like that increase. To have this convention center, everybody seems to be clamoring for, and yet nobody really wants to look at alternative ways to pay for it.
And this alternative way of paying for it would alleviate the food and beverage tax to other people. Talk about how those two correlate.
Right. Well, people have been saying, well, we have to do the food and beverage tax because, the innkeeper's tax wouldn't be enough to do it. And the innkeepers believed it and didn't look at the numbers, it looks like, perhaps. Or maybe they just don't want to have to deal with an increase in the tax in their business. But it would not take both. It wouldn't take food and beverage and the innkeeper's tax if we did what Representative Ellington is presenting, with the option to take it up so that we could charge visitors on average $5 more a night, bring in the revenue. Right now the revenue is coming in better than expected for this year with the innkeeper's tax. It might be more like $2.7 million this year. Well, if that's the right amount, then next year we would get an additional $2.7 on top of that if we didn't even sell one more room night. And there's the money for that, for the convention center. And it leaves over money because we would be rolling in that debt into that 2.7 that's needed to help pay for that existing debt, and leaving extra money left over, which many on the county council say the only way they're going to support this is if there is additional money left over for a project. And now they've never really discussed what the projects are with me, but I'm told that the projects are they'd like to have dollars for the to help improve our trails or improve the parks. And certainly you can do that with the innkeeper's tax money, because the rule on that is if the money is used to promote tourism or visitors. And of course our parks with the soccer fields and so forth promotes tourism visitors. We have tournaments there, as well as people come here from wherever to walk on our trails, and we'll continue to do so. So it's legally possible to do that with any dollars that might be left over once we have completely made certain that the dollars are safe and there to cover all expenses of the growth of this convention center. And I'm just amazed that
Well, I think the question is why that wasn't investigated, or why it hasn't been brought up. Why is everybody hurrying to put the food and beverage tax in?
Well, and I mean, I can fault myself. I was pushing hard to say, let's take it to 8%. That'll bring in over about $1.7 million. We need another million. And I was working hard to try to get the city to get on board to say they would cover that with the TIF. And so far, the city's not been willing to participate. They're just saying, no, county, you go ahead and raise this tax and send us the money. And so then you get to the point, well, that isn't going to work. The city is never going to come around and say, we're going to help. So that's when I went to our state representative, and others have as well, to say, how can you help us with this? And this is a way to make it happen without going to the food and beverage tax. So,
and the advantage to that is people from out of town pay the innkeeper's tax, as opposed to the people in Bloomington having to pay that tax on a daily basis, essentially.
Right. And in addition to which, it would continue to operate, the revenue stream would continue to operate as it has for more than two decades, where the Visit Bloomington and the convention center, they look at their budgets and they have to turn them into that tourism commission, which is already established, and those budgets are put together and presented to the county council. So you have all those eyes looking at it, and we don't have some other group that we're not sure who it will be telling us what we can and cannot do with this money. It is a way to really financially protect our existing convention center and tourism, and a way to protect it going forward.
Well, why don't we just have the food and beverage tax and the innkeeper's tax raised, and then we'll just have a huge pot of money we can do anything with.
Oh, now you're scaring me. Someone else said that on the county council.
Oh, well,
that sounds so good. Let's have them both. That just amazes me.
What in the world is wrong with everybody?
Well, because... So then it's like...
Well, the out-of-town people pay for one of them. Then let's have the in-town people pay for one of them. We can have a ton of money.
Oh, my gosh.
So now it's like no matter what you do, trying to protect the people's money, trying to let more money stay in their pockets because they are the ones who work for it to get in their pocket, rather than going to the people and saying, here, we want a little more of your money. Let's find another way. We'll charge the visitors. If they're coming here for a convention, an extra $5, they're not going to come at all if they can't afford the $5 for a convention. So let's go to the visitors, as we have done from the beginning. to have the convention center. It has always been a visitor's tax. There's not been one penny local dollar spent on that, and that was the promise that was made back when we put this convention center in place. So if we continue on with that theory, we can grow this convention center. We do not have to go to the people of this county and say, we want a tax from you. Now, that is not to say that at some point in time, that if push comes to shove, and we, there is something this county has to do that we're required by law to do through statute or whatever the law is, if we're up against it and we can find no other way to pay for it, the day may come that I'll have to vote for a food and beverage tax, but it should not be when we can find another way to provide this tourism growth. And here is a way to do it. If we don't all get on board on this, then shame on us.
Marty Hawk's our guest this morning. The county councilwoman checks in. It'll be interesting to see the opposition to this, I don't want to say newfound math, but that's kind of what it sounds like. What is the downside to it? Would have people pointed out and saying, hey, wait a second, this is a bad idea because...
Well, because new ideas are difficult for people to grasp and make decisions on. And I get that. I understand. I think you have to really look at numbers and try to understand finances and why this wasn't presented. When we ask to have someone to represent the council to give us fiscally responsible numbers, and yet the only thing that came back was, no, that won't work. That won't work. In other words, there was no effort to make it work because there was nothing presented to us that said, oh, well, this is what an average hotel rate is for Bloomington. Nothing. I finally thought, well, what are we talking about? If we're willing to do 8% but not 10%, what's the difference per night? Okay, look it up. And I see it, well, the difference is between $3 and $5.
But Marty, you do understand that what's going on here is that they want another tax.
Another brand new tax.
They want another brand new tax, because if they can have another brand new tax, they've got multiple places that they can raise revenue streams from, and they can have all the money in the world, and they never stop to think about how it affects people who are the ones who are paying for it. That never occurs to them. All that occurs to them is that they have multiple revenue streams. I don't get this at all. When you explain this and how simple this all is, how anybody could say...
I always think there's a catch. Maybe I'm skeptical.
Yeah, I've been contacting people and saying, am I missing something here? Is there something else in the equation I'm supposed to be looking at? Please tell me if there is some secret out there that I'm not aware of. Please let me know, because, of course, I don't want to be presenting something if the numbers are all wrong, but you just, and somebody said, well, where did you get these numbers for the hotel rates? Well, I Googled it. And, you know, the hotel rates for Bloomington, Indiana, it's right there. Just go to Google and look it up.
Yeah, and an average is an average, sure. If the hotel's $200, well, and do the math up on what it would be, and, yeah, you can figure all that out.
Right. So I don't see why we wouldn't at least slow this thing down to consider it. And, yes, I know that there's those that are saying, well, we don't know for sure that the state would raise it to 10 so that we could get this extra $3 to $5 per night from visitors. Well, we don't know that they would do that, but could we not give it 3 months to find out? Rather than the way it's set up now, once the city would get through with the annexation, which they will do eventually, that's another $400,000 over to their side that the county would not get with food and beverage tax. So all of these extra things where the city's counting on extra dollars coming in at some point in time for their trails, their parks, it will be that much less for the county's trails and parks. So, and we got to remember, 20 years to us is a long time. I'm not going to be around on the county council 20 years from now. I will try, but I don't think I'll make it. But I've got to say that when we're making these financial decisions, you have to look out over a very long term, and all of these dollars, as they continue to grow beyond what it takes to pay for that convention center, that money will be available to spend on economic development projects, which will include, if we're talking of food and beverage tax, which would include things like parks and trails and so forth. So if the county really wants to protect our parks and our trails, we should do it with the innkeeper's tax, where we have total vote on how those dollars are going to be spent.
Is there any guarantee at the state level this will happen?
Well, certainly if they don't, if the innkeepers don't want it to happen, they can all contact the state and push hard, saying, no, no, don't do that. It's going to kill us. We would lose all kinds of business if we had to charge people an extra $3 to $5. I don't think that's credible. I think if those of us who really want this to happen just support this effort to get it to 10, which represents $3 to $5 extra a night, then that would happen. And I think a lot of the movers and shakers here that might be listened to at the state, if they would at least consider it, I think it could happen. But they may say, no, we want to make a decision now. We don't want to wait another 2 or 3 months to see what happens. There's this big push, whatever, we have to do it before year end or the sky's going to fall in.
When the food and beverage tax, if it and when it is passed, is that in perpetuity? That just goes on as long as it needs to go on, correct?
Well, we're told by people at the convention center that, indeed, over time, buildings need renovation. They need, and it makes a lot of sense. And the cost of upkeep and maintenance and so forth will continue on. So they cannot just have a food and beverage tax for the convention center just to pay off this debt. They have to have ongoing revenue to cover operational costs. I get it. I support that. You cannot have it just come in, just pay for the building, and then walk away and hope the building takes care of itself. That doesn't work. So I'm just disappointed that this wasn't discussed earlier on. And I'm sorry I didn't bring it earlier. I tried. I just kept thinking the city would surely kick in. We could kick in the $1.7 million.
But we still need the state to act on this, right?
What?
We still need the state to act on this, right?
Still have to act on it.
The state,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no vote been taken. Now, in the meantime, I know we're out of time, so I wanted to make sure people understand. Please go to the county commissioners, 349-2550 or 2525, and speak with them about the openings on the plan commission. We received the information that, indeed, Mr. Robling has step down or will be stepping down at the end of the year from Plan Commission and the Board of Zoning Appeals, of course. If you're not on Plan Commission, you won't be on that. And so there's openings there that will help. And right now, this is a very, very important time to get on board, having to do with our planning and zoning. And the other thing is that we have been notified by the county attorney that Jeff Fagno, who is representing the Indiana Green Transfer Waste Facility, he has informed the Board of Commissioners that based on the feedback that he's received regarding that waste transfer station being proposed on the west side of the county, that they're going to step back and reevaluate the details of the project. Now, he says there's no actual way to suspend their application, But our attorney believes that an application can be suspended by writing a letter to IADM. So I know that the people who are opposing this waste transfer facility are going to continue to push hard to make sure that the local elected officials hear their voice to save us from this, because it's not something that they feel like is needed or wanted. And so we'll see how all of that works out.
What time is the meeting next Wednesday?
Next Wednesday at 5:30. And, of course, I understand that's right in the middle of exams for the students. A lot of students would like to come to speak to this because they feel like this is really an affront to the IU students, but they're going to be pretty busy with their exams. So I'm not sure that it's a done deal, but we'll find out. And I would sure love to support that convention center, and I'm calling some of the innkeepers to try to explain that, no, we're talking $3 to $5 a night. The one I talked to some yesterday, and they didn't seem to understand that. I just don't think it had been presented to them.
Well, you hear something being raised 10%, and you're thinking hundreds of dollars. You know, that's just where your brain goes.
Right, and they were told many times, oh, this will never work. It'll hurt the convention business. And so it's how it was presented. And I remember when we first put the convention center together, there was a major pushback. Oh, no, no, we can't. We'll lose all kinds of money. That never happened.
There you go. All right. Well, you'll remind us next Wednesday about the meeting time on Wednesday night, and we'll talk to you next week just after 8:05.
Thank you.